Thank you for listening to a message from the Manhattan Church of Christ, recorded during our Sunday morning worship service. We hope that this message will be helpful to you and encourage you to explore the Word of God. And now, this week's message.
When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language?"
It was amazing. Absolutely amazing. In those days, it was one amazing thing after another. After what we thought was crushing defeat when Jesus died on the cross. But then on Sunday morning, bam! He rose from the dead. You're here. You know the story. After he rose, Jesus told us not to leave Jerusalem. We had to stay put, stay in the city, so that he could fulfill his promise when we would be baptized with the Holy Spirit, he said. In those days after he rose, Jesus appeared to different people 10 different times in different ways. Sometimes it was one person at a time, or to larger groups of people. And then on the 40th day after Jesus rose from the dead, he took us all out to the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives, where we had all fallen asleep on him when he prayed that night. Where we all betrayed him, not just Judas. But then Jesus rewrote our location memories for the Mount of Olives because he turned to us and he said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Then, bam! He goes up in the sky. A cloud comes and takes him up right before our very eyes. And he's gone. And these two angels come out of nowhere. They're dressed in white. And they stand next to us and they say, "Pick your jaws off the ground, boys, and quit gawking. You think that was cool? Wait till you see Jesus come back the same way. But you've got work to do until that happens. Here's your clue. What's the last thing he said? Be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and all of Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Amazing. As Jesus left, he passed his mission on to us with the promise he would also pass his power on to us so that we could complete the mission. So what did we do? We did what Jesus said. We stayed in Jerusalem and we prayed and prayed. There were all of us together that day, the 120 of us, the 12 apostles, and we prayed for God to prepare us for the mission he was giving us, to prepare us for the Spirit. Actually, that's where I come into the story. Actually, my name is Matthias. I was the apostle chosen to replace Judas, to be the 12th apostle, right? Because there had to be 12 of us, because we were the new Israel. And the 12 of us represented the 12 tribes in the new kingdom. So I just come into the story here, but actually, I was part of the story the whole time. Only you didn't know it. Wait a minute, kids. There are kids in here. Where are those yellow shirts? Kids, does that sound familiar? I came into the story later, but actually I was part of the whole story the whole time, only you didn't find out. What does that sound like to you? The Lion King. Yeah. When Pumbaa and Timon, right, they come in the movie a while after it started, but then you find out they were a part of the story the whole time. But you don't find out until the sequel comes out years later, right? The book of Acts is like a sequel to the Gospel of Luke. I don't think that's an accident. Okay, kids, that's just between us. Just between us. It's just between me and the kids. So in order to be considered a replacement apostle, which is what I became. Oh, wait a minute. Kids, a replacement. Have you heard of the replacements? I'm a replacement apostle. Okay, just between us. Just between us. In order to be considered as a replacement apostle, you had to have been part of the whole story. You had to have been with Jesus and the other 12 apostles from day one, from the baptism of John, all the way through the story to when he ascended into heaven. There were only two of us that met that criteria. And God chose me. And the dice were not loaded. And that whole process took a couple of hours maybe. So we went back into prayer. And we prayed for God to prepare us for the Spirit that He was giving. We prayed for Him to make us ready for the mission that He was sending us on. And then 10 days after Jesus rose into the sky when He ascended, 10 days after that came the Jewish feast of Pentecost. And when Pentecost came, bam, the Holy Spirit came too. It was amazing. Now, Pentecost is one of the three feasts of pilgrimage, right? Which means if you can, you go up to Jerusalem to celebrate. The other two are the Feast of Tabernacles and Passover. Now, the word Pentecost means 50th. It's linked to Passover. It comes 50 days after Passover. And that year's Passover, of course, we will never forget. That year's Passover meal was Jesus' last supper with His disciples. And the city was filled with pilgrims then, too. Pilgrims who shouted, "Crucify Him!" before Pilate later that night. 50 days later, Jerusalem was filled with pilgrims, again, as Jews came from every direction to offer up a sacrifice of the new grain as the harvest had just begun, to make an offering of the first fruits. And so Pentecost is also known as the Day of First Fruits. Just as the resurrection of Jesus was the first fruits of the harvest of resurrections that would come. In fact, there is a tradition that says that the law of Moses was even given on the day of Pentecost. So it is a day of new beginnings, truly. As a matter of fact, the promise, the promise of the Spirit begins deep in the First Testament with the wish made by Moses in the book of Numbers. Moses says, "I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets. I wish that the Lord would put His Spirit on them all." And later, Isaiah writes that the Spirit would be poured out from on high and transform the desert into a fertile land. And then the promise God made to Ezekiel, "I will take you from the nations. I will gather you from all the countries. I will sprinkle you with clean water and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your iniquities, from all of your idols. I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put My Spirit in you so that you will be moved to follow Me, to follow My decrees, to be careful with My law. You will be My people, and I will be your God." Amazing! And then John the Baptist came a little while later. And he said, "I baptize you with water, but One is coming after Me who is more powerful, the thongs of whose sandals I am unworthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And that morning in Pentecost, We were there together praying again. The 12, actually there were 120 of us, the other disciples, the women who had been part of Jesus' ministry, Jesus' mother, Jesus' brothers were there. We were praying over and over, asking God to prepare us. And in the midst of our prayer, suddenly the sound of a great violent wind came from heaven and filled the room where we were seated. And flames appeared that separated and settled on each one of us. But just like the burning bush was not consumed on Mount Sinai, we were not burned by the flames. And we were filled with the Holy Spirit. And began to speak in languages we didn't know. We were beside ourselves with joy. We couldn't contain ourselves. We burst outside, erupting with the Spirit in these foreign languages. All of us, what a sound. The people in the area heard the noise and came to investigate what could be the cause of this cacophony. What was the cacophonous cause? It was like the Tower of Babel all over again, only unlike the Tower of Babel when no one could be understood. They were shocked to be able to understand us. We were speaking their language, not Greek and Aramaic that everybody learned to do business and worship in. No, they heard us speaking in the words their mothers sang them to sleep with when they were young. And they were amazed and surprised to hear this unexpected, sudden facility of linguistic expertise pouring out of us, uneducated Galileans, every one. And well, they should have been. Did we get their attention? Did the Spirit get their attention? Bam! You bet he did. I'll never forget that day, because then Peter took the floor. And starting right there and then with what was going on, he brought them through the whole story. And that would become our pattern for the rest of our lives, starting with what was happening right there and then. We would start with that. And then tell people the story of Jesus as eyewitnesses. We would relate to people our experience of Jesus, of his life, his ministry, his teachings, of his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and his promise to return. That was the most powerful morning in my life, second only to meeting Jesus. And I will never forget watching Peter as he spoke, because I couldn't help but remember that not long before, when Jesus needed a friend in the very worst way, Peter stood there and denied him 3 times in front of everybody. The rest of us had already denied him. But there he stood, Peter. Because of the forgiving love of Jesus, because of the power of the Spirit flowing into this uneducated Galilean fisherman who had screwed up right and left, now he was preaching the most eloquent, the most powerful, the most important sermon of all time. God can change anybody. He can use anybody. There's your proof. And in response to that Spirit-filled sermon, thousands gave their lives to Christ that day as the offering of the first fruits of the agricultural harvest were being made in the temple. Not very far away, the first fruits of an even greater spiritual harvest were being offered as 3,000 people surrendered their lives to Christ, repented of their sins, and were baptized. It was Amazing. That was then. This is now. What is the Spirit up to now? We're pretty far away, geographically and chronologically. Has the Spirit of God changed? Absolutely not. The same Spirit that Peter promised to those people when they repented of their sins and were baptized, that they would receive the forgiveness of those sins and they would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that was received by the 12, by the 120, by the 3,000 that day. That same Spirit is given to every Christ follower today. So what? What is the Spirit? What does it do? How does it work? It's a mystery. It's relationship. The Spirit of God is what bound Jesus to God while Jesus was on earth. That's why the Spirit could not be poured out onto the rest of humanity until Jesus was back at the Father's side and didn't need to hog the Spirit for himself anymore. Or, there's another theory. The Clark Kent theory. Right? Because Clark Kent and Superman are never in the same room at the same time. And we know why. Jesus says he has to leave so the Holy Spirit can come. It's a mystery. It doesn't matter. All that matters is that we have the Spirit of God. That same Spirit who hasn't changed is right here. Right here. Right? So the Spirit is its relationship. It's what bound Jesus together to God. The Spirit is what makes possible my relationship with God. The Spirit sustains my relationship, fosters, nurtures my relationship with God. It's what makes it possible. It's what makes it go. Now, on the simplest level, the Spirit is what nudges my conscience to pipe in when I'm about to do something wrong. Or it makes me feel guilty when I'm not doing something that I should. But that's on like sleeper level. Look at us. Look at the 12. Look at the 120. After Jesus ascended into heaven, but before the day of Pentecost, what were we doing? We were praying continually because we had been promised the Spirit, just like every one of you. And we were asking God to open us up, to prepare us for the Spirit, to make us ready for the mission that the Spirit was giving, was being given us for. We weren't trying to figure everything out. We were trying to surrender ourselves, to submit ourselves to God and what He would do next. And because of that time in prayer of surrender, when the Spirit did come upon us, it flowed through us in a way that brought everyone around us face to face with Jesus Christ. That's continued to be my experience as my life has gone on. My heart didn't change suddenly because I was named the 12th apostle. I was still Matthias. But as I continually surrender myself to the Spirit in prayer, the Spirit empowers my life so that my life can be an act of worship. It gives me strength to sacrifice the things I want in favor of what the Spirit wants. It even brings me to a point where I want what the Spirit wants. By the power of the Spirit, I'm able to recognize moments of decision throughout my day, moments I didn't even realize were there before, where I choose between doing things my way and in my best interests, or surrendering to the Spirit's way and doing things in the interest of Christ. And in that moment of choice, in that moment of surrender, the supernatural power of God is with me, and I surpass myself. The superhuman power of God flows through me, and I am capable of things far beyond my human capacity. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Everybody buy this shirt. It starts with the first moment of the day, the very first moment. When I'm awake, I wake up, but I'm still in bed. My first decision as whether to act for myself and roll over and sleep until the last possible second, or surrender to the Spirit and get up early and spend time alone with God. I know it's cheesy, but you get the point. By the power of the Spirit, I deny my flesh and spend the time in submission and surrender before the throne of God, so that for the rest of the day, it is far more easy for the Spirit to flow through me. That's how Jesus started his day. Did he have the Spirit? You betcha. Those moments, those points of decision, those moments of choice between self or surrender, they come at you all day long. They come at you whether you're ready for them or not. They come at you when you're in the middle of something, when you're trying to focus and... Excuse me. Hi, honey. I'm sorry, I'm kind of in the middle of something. Why was that? Your mom wants to come for a visit again next week. Okay, I've got a choice to make here, don't I? If I act in my own selfish interest, you have got to be kidding me. She was just here. I haven't recovered from all the advice. She's not going to stay with us again, is she? Or... Great! I love your mother, and we didn't get to spend enough time with her last time. She is such a sweetheart, and I just love hearing all the wisdom she's gained from all her many, many years of life. Okay, can she stay with us? Oh, we'll talk about it later. Thanks. Thanks. Oh, who's got kids? Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. There are kids in here. Kids, here. Who can tell me what these are? Shout it out. What are they?
Eggs.
What kind of eggs? Easter eggs. My kids love Easter eggs. They love to hunt for them all year long. So I have a choice. You want one, buddy? There you go. I have a choice. Whether I'm surrendering to myself and saying, if I step on one of these things in the middle of the floor one more time, I'm going to throw them all away. Or, it is so great that my kids love a game associated with the resurrection of Christ. While they're at school today, I'm going to fill these things with surprises and hide them around the house so that when they get home, we can play together. It's a date. No one will know I put this down as a business expense. Besides, everybody does it. How my colleagues see me is how they see Christianity. How they see me is how they see Jesus himself. Small talk. Nice Yankees cap. How about those Yankees? I like your Yankees cap. Did you know their pitcher, Andy Pettit, is a Christian? Boy, that must complicate his prayer life, huh? George Steinbrenner versus Jesus Christ. I'm so tired of this economy. I'm so tired of bad news. I'm so tired of being afraid. I have never been more grateful for what God has blessed me with. And he's teaching me that we don't need half the stuff we've got. There is so much potential in every moment. So much potential in every person. Potential that can only be reached by the Holy Spirit of God. And when I live my life and surrender to that Spirit, my actions, my words, even my thoughts are in tune with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And I am a far more credible witness to others. Because that was the purpose the Spirit was given in the first place, to enable faithful witness to Jesus Christ. The Spirit was given to empower our faithful witness to Jesus Christ. So we have a choice. Every one of us has a choice. Every day, every hour, sometimes every minute, we can choose to be our ordinary selves. Or we can choose to be something greater. Because when we surrender to the Spirit of God, we cease to be ordinary mere mortals and become eternal beings who have been entrusted with the unsurpassed mission to bring His light to the nations, to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. And in that moment of surrender, the supernatural power of the Almighty Triune God is given to us that we might fulfill our mission to act, to speak, to love in the name of Christ. Experience a depth. Experience a richness, a beauty, a fullness of life that is not available to those who scratch their way through life on behalf of self. No, submit. Surrender. And fulfill your greatest destiny, because every single one of us can be superhuman by his power to his glory. And the people said, Amen. Let us pray. Almighty Triune God, we fall before your awesome throne and we are amazed at you, at your love, at your forgiveness, at your trust in us to be your vessels, to be your plan A for your Spirit to flow into and through so that others may know the eternity-changing news that you have entrusted to us. We praise you for your gift of the Spirit and confess we have no idea how it works or what to do. But we bow before your throne, and Lord, we surrender to you. We ask you to work in us, to give us the thirst and the hunger for you and your Spirit, to spend the time before your throne in submission, to recognize those moments of choice throughout the day as we stand at tiny crossroads every minute, deciding between ourselves or surrender to you. Empower, nudge, do all that you can to make those moments of decision bring us to following you. We exalt you and praise you and thank you for making us superhuman by your power and to your glory. We pray in the name of our brother, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from the Manhattan Church of Christ. We are located at 48 East 80th Street in New York City. Worship services are held every Sunday beginning at 9:30 a.m., followed by adult and children's Bible classes at 11 a.m. For more information about our church and to hear previous podcasts, please visit our website at www.manhattanchurch.org.